Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots training camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. It's supposed to be tough. The NFL. Training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
I don't know about where you are. It might be a lazy Sunday out there, but not here in Foxborough, not at Gillette Stadium, where the Patriots had another day of training camp practice. Eric Scalavino and Andy Hart from Patriots Football Weekly. We were just out there, just came back in, and it wasn't hot. It wasn't all that tough for us anyway. It was drizzly, kind of cool out there, Andy. Not what training camp normally is about around here. But another interesting day, I thought, on and off the field. Beforehand, we spoke with Patriots defensive line coach Pepper Johnson, a guy whose job got a lot more interesting this year based on the new players who've come in under his direction. Afterwards, we talked to Logan Mankins for the first time since he inked his new multi-million-dollar, multi-year deal. He was a happy camper, seemed like.
Even though it doesn't feel real yet.
Not yet. It hasn't hit him. Hasn't quite hit him yet. At least that's what he says. And we believe him because he's a nice man and he always tells us things.
And it's the time of year that nothing's changed for him. He's stuck in training camp. He's
hasn't been able to enjoy
football.
It. Right.
And I don't think he'll really do much to extravagantly enjoy it anyway.
No. Out on the field, though, yet another practice. And did we see Albert Haynesworth today? No. Did we see Brandon Spikes today? No. And for the second day in a row now, we haven't seen Taylor Price, the guy who Andy has been in love with of late, his new apple of his eye, who took a little bit of a hit in the preseason game the other night, kind of a cheap shot to the head. Stayed in the game, even had a catch afterwards, but hasn't been on the practice field ever since. A little bit of a concern for him.
If that was it, I mean, we don't know.
Could have been, yeah, could be something else, could be anything.
I saw one report that said he may have tweaked an ankle in the game.
Really?
Like he limped at one point, so... Who knows?
Maybe it's a combination of things.
Not on the field at all, so not a great sign.
Tell you who had a good day today. Andre Carter.
Looked like he was shot out of a cannon.
In one-on-one drills, in teamwork against the offense, he was making some plays everywhere.
He always looks good. Today he was making plays.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Right.
Man fills out
an Under Armour
quite well.
Right.
But, he looks like a guy that has that first step. You know, a little quickness to him, a little pass rush ability, which is obviously what we've seen in his career for the most part. Didn't have a great year last year in the 3-4. But he looks like a guy with some pass rush potential. That's something nice to see.
The rest of the defense didn't have their greatest day today, though. Looked like they got beat quite a bit, especially in pass coverage.
Yep.
And the person who was victimizing them quite a bit was somebody who fans are familiar with, Chad Ochocinco, looking like he's starting to put together what his mind is telling him and what his body wants to do. They seem to be merging now, and he's making some plays out there, making some acrobatic, spectacular-type plays that I think fans were expecting when he was traded for earlier this month.
And making some plays down the field. You know, obviously that was the question of, you know, is he still a deep threat?
Yeah.
Is he a big play guy? And at least in practice, he's been making a lot of plays down the field. I'm not going to say he's Randy Moss, but... he certainly looks like he can get behind some corners and some safeties and make some plays, make some nice catches behind the defense. So good thing to see, just a good thing to see him not dropping the ball, just catching the ball.
And one of the things we saw today for probably the first time this summer was the Patriots defense lining up
in a
3-4.
First time I've seen it this summer. Traditional 3-4 set. Kyle Love at the nose, Vince Wilfork at right defensive end, Gerard Warren at left defensive end, which was at different times last year what the front line looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Gerard Mayo bumping inside next to
Dane Fletcher.
Yep. Obviously, Brandon Spikes out of action. And then the outside linebackers were?
Andre Carter on one
side,
on the right side. And on the other side, our friend from last year, Eric Moore.
Yes, which I find interesting in a lot of ways. You know, we just talked about Andre Carter had a terrible year last year in the 3-4.
Came here and said, my job was to put my hand in the ground and go.
Get the quarterback. So... You know, and the other guy who we brought in from the Redskins said, my job is to kill the quarterback,
right.
Not to two-gap.
Right.
So, but I will say, it just plants that seed of doubt. We all know that
we saw
Phil
it briefly,
has,
too. We shouldn't say,
oh,
we should,
yeah,
we
it
should
was,
stress.
You know, 8 reps, maybe, somewhere
right.
in that
and
range.
And then they went back to the 4-3.
And when they went to team late in practice, all the other team action was 4-3 looks that we've been seeing throughout camp. But I will say, it plants that seed of doubt, because we all think Bill Belichick's a 3-4 coach. He's a two-gap coach. He's his philosophy, his system. It's been what it's been for basically 30 years, save for here and there. And now we all felt, oh, well, we haven't seen any 3-4 in camp yet, so they're going 4-3. They're going to be a little more penetrating. And then this plants the seed of doubt in your mind. Has this just been a tease to make them more versatile? He always starts with the new thing or the difficult thing that they're transitioning to. Are we going to see, you know, at Miami, Monday Night Football, 7:10 p.m., we see the defense jog on the field, and 3-4, there it is.
Yeah.
So I still think you're going to see a lot more, whether it's all the time, whatever. You're going to see 4-3 looks, penetrating style. I don't know how much. As I said, I fall under this. This now plants a seed of doubt in my mind, but I still think penetrating 4-3, what you see.
What else? You scribbled a lot of things down in your notebook.
Oh,
over
a lot
there.
Of scribbling, my
what
friend.
What else? What else noteworthy from today's practice stood out to you?
Noteworthy. Robert Kraft was here, took in the practice, wearing shorts. A lot of people in the media tents claimed they'd never seen Patriots owner Robert Kraft in shorts.
Really?
I think he comes out to camp occasionally
in
shorts. So
I think we've seen that
usually
before.
He's in a suit and pants and things when he's bringing some, you know, rich people with him, some big wigs, some client sponsors.
He's definitely dressed it down a few times in camp.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
It's camp, it's hot, you know.
Interesting today, I think,
cool
the last
clothes.
2 days we've seen some guys out of action, Taylor Price being one of them, Brandon Tate still being one of them. We're seeing some different rotations on return work, both punts and kickoffs. Darius Butler, again, getting some kick return work.
Second day in a row for
Deion
him.
Deion Branch getting some punt return work, which I think is interesting.
That's an interesting wrinkle.
He, Wes Welker, and somebody else. But again, Edelman's out, so you can't put too much stock into any of this. But I would be kind of stunned if we saw too much of Deion Branch back there. He's a guy that last time he was here, they didn't play him in the preseason, never mind put him out there on punts. And I just wonder, with his frail nature and injury history, if we could really see him return punts. I'd be stunned.
I don't see it.
Interesting that he's getting reps out there. Some other things.
Did we see, by the way, speaking of Edelman, was he out there in shorts rehabbing?
He was. He was out there in shorts.
Okay, so second day in a row for that.
Yes, he was on the field in shorts. Another thing I found interesting a little bit is we talked about this, you and I, opportunity session to end practice, traditional. You know, the veterans weren't doing sprints. They were just on the side watching. But you had Ryan Mallett in the offense going against a defense that included, you know, backup-type players, young developing players. But we talked about the fact that this team doesn't have any cornerbacks, really. They're very limited at cornerbacks. So
as far as depth is concerned.
As depth, yeah. And so you had out there Lee Bodden, mm-hmm. Devin McCourty, Kyle Arrington playing with the best of the opportunity, mm-hmm. the rest of the opportunity players. And then the second group comes in with Butler and Will Height.
Arrington.
And, Arrington was out there with the first. They were doing some sub.
Yeah, they were all mixing together.
So I just think it's interesting.
Some Brett Lockett.
Your top
times.
End corners and your bottom, you know, there's not much in between them. And, you know, it wouldn't be stunning. Everybody thinks Butler and Will Height are in a battle for a job, maybe. Wouldn't be stunning if they kept both. I mean, I wouldn't be stunned at all, especially now if Butler can maybe get some kick return reps and becomes a little more bit of a impact player on special teams. Maybe he could stick around. But, you know, this team doesn't have a lot of, no disrespect, scrub corners, real low-end corners.
In a way, that position is a lot like the offensive line, where in a preseason game, you only have so many O-linemen, and they're one of the few positions that have to play pretty much the bulk of the game in the preseason because they have no one else really to do it.
Yep. Funny you mentioned the offensive line. Matt Light, we saw take a more active part in practice today. No teamwork that I saw, but did some of the one-on-one drills and was going against.
It's a progression.
Yeah.
He's slowly working his way back to that.
He did a pretty good job on a couple of them, and then he, like a few other people today, had some problems with Andre Carter, who might be the star of the practice, I think.
Yeah.
If you're looking on Patriots.com later and you're looking for a who's hot, I'm just saying you might see somebody named Andre Carter in there. Otherwise, I thought Will Yeatman.
I think he pronounces it Yeatman.
Not how it's spelled. Spelled
right.
Yeatman.
It's rough.
I don't want to pull an Eric, but it's spelled Yeatman, and he says Yeatman. He's an intriguing guy. I'm starting to wonder what chance he has. If he does have a chance to make this roster, could they keep four tight ends?
I think it's possible.
Or even, is he neck and neck? I mean, Lee Smith has been a guy. You know, I was talking to some of the reporters that went back and watched a lot of the game over again. Lee Smith didn't have a great game blocking, apparently. He's caught some balls, surprising people with his hands so far, but Yeatman's a big body, and you just wonder if he's got a chance. I think a lot of people have him penciled in for the practice squad, but you never know if they keep four tight ends or if he unseats Lee Smith.
Right, well, they're definitely going to keep Gronkowski and Hernandez, and
I think those two are locks. Good call.
No, but I mean, you normally don't go with with two. Normally you have at least three on your roster.
I think they'll have three. The question is, in terms of a fourth or whatever, how you feel about your extra tackle. Can that guy be your blocker, Nate Solder, if he is a guy that isn't playing, if Light's playing, or Mark Lavoie, or one of those guys who's the backup swing tackle, can that guy be your extra tight end? Generally, they err on that side. They don't keep the fourth guy. They have three. You could probably get Yateman on the practice squad. I can't imagine, you know, especially if he's committed to this team. I'm not sure he'd be wanting to sign elsewhere.
Right. Yeah. A lot of times they take care of the guys who are practice squatters in order to keep them around.
Right.
So, and just one last note on the offensive line before we wrap up this podcast. Dan Connolly, who'd been out for a while, was back out there today.
As was new father Danny Woodhead.
That's right. Congratulations,
baby's
Papa.
Taller than him. Tomorrow? By the end of the week, certainly.
That's just
why.
My son's
already growing. He's already halfway as tall as I am.
Well, you know what's even
shorter? Wrong with, there's nothing to be ashamed of if you're short. It's just a fact of life.
Yes, I know. I've had to deal with that
for my
whole life.
It's like big noses. It's like big bellies. I mean, we all have things we have to deal with.
Big heads.
Exactly.
You know, and long-running podcasts. So we're going to bring this one to an end. But the Patriots practice again tomorrow. Afternoon schedule, I believe. Same
traditional
deal as
schedule.
We've had. Right, it's now become the routine around here. So 24 hours from now, check back. You'll get another podcast from us. We'll see you then.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.